take pleasure in presenting the first episode in a series of gripping stories of nature, travel, and adventure from the pen of Robert E. Callahan, National Authority on the American Indian, and produced under the direction of the author by the Olson Sound Studios, Hollywood, California. No story in all the checkered history of America holds the interest of the general public as that of the American Indian. His sturdy frame, his knowledge of nature, historic legend and lore, and his love for the great outdoors is constantly being shown in schools, churches, and civic organizations everywhere. Only one who has lived among the Indians, who knows their ways, superstitions, and their faith in the Great Spirit, can describe this mysterious race.
Audience who will follow our programs, we think it well to give the reason for these stories. It was in 1492 that Columbus, sailing from Spain in search of a shorter route to the East Indies, discovered America. On his return to Spain, he told interesting stories of a new and strange land inhabited by red men. In later years, traders and trappers landed on the Atlantic shores and made friends with the Indians. Next, Spanish explorers came to the Pacific shores to hunt for gold and found the Indians peaceful, kind, and friendly. But this kindness was accepted by these strange people only as a means to gain information and wealth. They stripped the country of treasure and left the Indians filled with deep resentment. During the ensuing years, many more strange men from far away came to the Indians' wigwam and hunting grounds, trading colorful beads, silk and satin for various skins, offering enticing inducements, finally arousing suspicion, which fired the Indians' mind with hatred. Next came soldiers of fortune to the Atlantic coast, who saw the land abounding in wealth and plenty, causing a new thrill in the hearts of men. The first important settlers to reach America were the Pilgrim Fathers, who landed on the seacoast of what is now Massachusetts and settled along the sandy shores and in the wild woods inhabited by various Indian tribes. Their wigwams were made of bark, brush, and skin. Although the white men called these Indians savages, the red men were living the same peaceful life their forefathers had lived, hunting, fishing, friendly with all who came their way. In fact, the Pilgrim Fathers would have starved that snowbound winter had it not been for the Indian's friendship. But despite his kindness, he was soon to learn his fertile valleys, forests, and game were arousing greed in the people who had professed to be his friends, causing him to wonder and to think about his home and his fate. Stories of a land full of golden opportunities soon swept across the sea, swelling interest and desire to see a new country. There were hopes of a new England, a new France, and a new Granada, free as the wind and sky. So in the latter part of the 17th century, a riptide of immigration began. From France, England, and Sweden, from Prussia, Belgium, Italy, and other parts of Europe, came the desire for new homes, new cities, new territories, kingdoms and new republics over which they might rule. For some time, a new freedom and a glorious outlook surged in every heart. But the Native American was ignored. Trouble started. Friction grew. Disputes over boundaries, jealousy and anger swept the Atlantic coast, and the revolution broke out. It was a fight for liberty, a struggle for power, and the ignorant Indians were drawn into the conflict, some fighting with the English, others on the colonial side, to gain control and power. And in the end, those matchless heroes who loved liberty most and who served their country best overthrew the power of England No longer were there German, English, or Swede. A new America was born. With the ending of the war, white men began crossing the continent, buying out Spain, founding new territories and states, creating new governments and creating a wealth, building factories, slaughtering buffalo for sport as they crossed the plains, dimming the campfires of wigwams and teepees, despoiling faith, philosophy, and Indian art. Onward went the resentless march, sweeping aside all native tribes. One dominant thought, speaking one language, bearing aloft one starry flag, and loyal to one national cause, America. That, my friend, is why in the days of our story, crossing the continent meant every mile was one of worry, danger, and possible tragedy. Scene of tonight's story, a village home in central Missouri, where neighbors and friends have met in the country church, hoping that George Poole will give up his plans of going west.
Oh, I do wish Mr. Poole would give up this dangerous trip.
No use to wish. He's going.
He doesn't realize what he may have to face.
Oh, it won't be as dangerous as you folks think.
But the country's full of Indians. They rob caravans, burn homes, and kill people.
I can't see why he's anxious to go.
Ain't no use to worry. We'll get through all right.
Why do they want to go, anyway?
It's a new gold field.
But couldn't we persuade them to stay?
There's no changing George Poole. He's a man of iron will.
What do you think, Parson Hall? Can't we persuade them to stay?
Well, child, we can try. But if it's God's will, George Poole must go. So let us pray. O Heavenly Father, we bow our heads and pray Thee, O Lord, for the privilege of being in the house of God today. We do not want to see our loved ones go so far away, but if it be Thy wish that George Poole take his family west, we pray Thee, O Lord, to guide them through danger along the way. And please, O Lord, watch over and care for little Johnny and Baby Jane. Protect the women folk. And guide them all, so they may reach the end of the trail without suffering the hardships which have befallen so many of our pioneers. Grant them, O Lord, good health, strength, and the power to live as the Lord would have them live. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory in God we trust. Amen. Children, let us sing hymn number 8.
Be the cover of my soul, let me through Thy bosom fly. Find me, O my Savior, high.
There were two well-known roads by which Poole might travel west. The Oregon Trail, made by Lewis and Clark in 1803, and the road which led to Santa Fe, the oldest town in New Mexico. The Oregon Trail went through Nebraska, Wyoming, and up into the Northwest. The Santa Fe Trail branched off at Fort Bridger, went to Salt Lake across Nevada, and continued on into California. Both trails were the same from their starting point to Gardner, Kansas. But here the trail split, and one sign read, Road to Oregon, and the other, Road to California. It must have been a strange and sad experience for any mother and father to leave their old homestead and start with innocent children for distant lands where there was little respect for law. Through a country in which the howling wolf, the wail of storm, the buckskin drum, and the war cry was heard day by day. But despite the stories of terror and the danger he must face, we see George Poole at the head of three covered wagons loaded with bedding, cooking utensils and supplies, standing near the barnyard. The break of dawn. A sad hour and a farewell departure Poole would never forget. Mother Poole, for years the village organist, was asked to play her favorite hymn, and tears flowed freely as hearts were touched with human hope and sympathy.
Frank, I sure will miss you.
Goodbye, George. Be sure to take care of everybody.
Be sure to take care of Johnny.
I'll be right. Bye.
Better look out for them there Indians, Luke.
I've been waiting for the kill of a red skin all my life. I have.
Shame on you, Luke. There ain't gonna be no killing on this here trip.
Old Luke was just fooling, Mama.
Well, he ought to be ashamed to say such a thing.
I'm afraid we'll never see them again.
Children, let us sing number 8.
Little did these pioneers know the dangers that lay ahead. Prairies devoid of wood and water. Mountain trails infested with beasts and hostile Indians. Electric storms, forest fires, and shifting, drifting sands beyond the Great Divide. Many caravans had made their way in safety, but many had been lost on the tragic trail. The ensuing stories of the lone Indian will entertain, educate, and give you a vivid portrayal of our first Americans and the spirit of our pioneers. These programs are presented with the good wishes of Blank and Company, who at this same hour tomorrow night will present another episode in the thrilling life of the lone Indian and his pale-faced friends. This transcription is for sample purposes only, and the story is fully copyrighted in every detail by the author, Robert E. Callahan, and the Olson Sound Studios of Hollywood, California.